would with me? Philippians. And I want you to just, we're going to read just one verse tonight. Woo, what an election in town. My God. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read just three verses. Verse 3, actually 4 verses. 3, 4, 5, and 6. When you're there, I want you to shout, I'm there. Philippians chapter 1. And I'm going to start reading in verse number 3. I thank God, I thank my God, Paul says, upon every remembrance, every time I remember you, he says, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. I just pray, God, for your anointing to be so strong tonight, that, Lord, that you would speak to every heart and every mind, and you would move us, God, in the right direction that you want us to go into. We love you. We thank you. We thank you, God, that you love us. And, Lord, we love you in Jesus' name, and everyone said. Turn to somebody and say, God's about to finish what he started. Don't you worry. Everything he said he's going to do, nothing can stop it. You can be seated. I want to just really quickly go right into the text here. Paul's writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and he's remembering. You know, as you get older, you have memories. You look back and you reminisce, you know, and I have a lot of, you know, next year is going to be it's going to be a big year in 2020, because it's going to be our 35th year of ministry here in Albuquerque. And I tell you right now that we've been already looking through archive pictures and other things. We're, you know, because we do it big. Every 5 years, we do a big banquet. And so we're really excited. But as I'm looking at different things, you go down memory lane. And I think about Paul here going down memory lane as he's sitting there in the prison cell. And he's writing to the church of Philippi, all these people that he knows, all these disciples, all these leaders that at one time they were real young in the Lord. They were maybe part of the kids gang or maybe part of the God's Anointed Now generation. And now they're older, they're third waivers, they're leaders in the church. Some of them are getting launched out and they're there. And I'm thinking, he's looking back and he's thinking, every time I remember you guys, I remember when you got saved, when that one guy got saved. I remember when we did that crusade and there was not even that enough people, but we were able to reach the people. We laid hands on the sick and people got healed. I remember, and I'd like to think that when he says, you know what, I thank God upon every time I remember you, that carries a lot of weight, because every time he remembered him, there was something about the memory of the church of Philippi where he had good memories, where God had done great things in the church. And he says, every time I begin to pray for you guys, I pray, there's an excitement upon me because I see that God is doing something spectacular within the church there. Every report I get, God is doing something that's growing. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In other words, man, every time we got together, God moved and we had great times. And so he's remembering. Then he switches, he changes his tone a minute. And he says, being confident, or I am absolutely sure of this very thing. This one thing I know for sure is that the one, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who started something up inside of you. When you were in the home, or when you were you got saved at a church service on a Friday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a regional service, that day from the beginning of what he started, the day he invaded your miserable life, in that moment, he said, in that very moment, because I'm confident, I believe, I'm sure that when he started that work in you, he will complete it. He will finish what he started. He's not going to leave you just the way you are until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, whatever God is going to do cannot be stopped. There are people right now in the world trying to deviate from the end days that know about God. Say, but we're going to do this because we don't believe in that, but yet they're doing things to avoid. I heard somebody say earlier, everybody wants to go to heaven until the day it's time to go. See, nothing can stop what God's going to do inside of your life. When God chooses a man, when he picks out somebody and says, I want to do this in you, even if you buck the system, even if you try to deviate from the plan, even if you get off road, he'll unleash the hounds of heaven to go find you. They'll sniff you out. Nothing that God's going to do in you can be stopped. That's why once God begins to declare to you and you've got a promise, you heard a promise earlier, I'll make the crooked path straight. Talking to Devin before he talked to his boss, and he says, Pastor, I'm just going to talk to my boss. And I said, good for you. Good for you. And when he called me and told me what happened, I'm like, wow, I want a bold step of faith for you. Number one. Number two, wow, what a benefit. What an outcome. And I believe this, that before he walked in that meeting, he must have said, I know, God, that you want to do something powerful at this gang convention. Right now I'm feeling like pooled because I got to work and I got to make money and I got to pay bills and I got to do this and I got to do that. I got to be responsible and I can't just be in and out and up and down and all over the place. But I'm asking you, I'm declaring victory. I'm declaring what you already spoke to me, that you're going to make a way where there is no way. I'm going to go ahead and just walk like that. That's what has to happen. You have to, I don't believe in a name it and claim it kind of thing, but you've got to declare it. If you know that God has spoken, then you've got to declare it. You've got to believe it. You've got to trust it. You've got to know that if God wants to elevate you, then he's going to elevate you no matter what. 5 months ago, nobody knew you were going to be the boss, Devin. 8 months ago, your boss didn't know you were going to be the boss. Well, what was Paul saying here? He was saying he's a completing God. He's a finisher. The Bible says his word goes out and it accomplishes what it sets out to do. There's not one barrier, not one obstacle that will stop what God wants to do. Whatever gets in your way, that barrier will either do one of two things to you. If you don't have no faith, it'll stop you. But a barrier is only a redirection. Because when I run into a barrier, when I'm out in the mountains and I run into a place with a big tree or whatever, and I'm like, we're not moving the tree, but we're going to find a way around this tree. When we go off-roading, four-wheel drive, and we get over there where we want to be, because that's where we want to be at. See, the decisions you make at the barrier determines where you're going. It determines the outcome. It determines not just the direction, but it determines your destiny. In Judges chapter 6, we find a very, very familiar and very powerful story about a man by the name of Gideon who is at probably the lowest point of his life. Gideon just to breeze through it a little bit real quickly, is that he's the lowest family of all the families, and then he happens to be the lowest in his family. He's like, he ain't nobody. He's a nobody. But aren't you glad that God specializes in using nobodies? If he didn't, I wouldn't be here. I don't know where I'd be because I was a nobody. And I'm just trying to tell everybody about somebody named Jesus. And so Gideon He gets a visit from the angel of the Lord, and he says, "Mighty man of valor, oh, you mighty man of valor." And he must have looked around and said, who's he talking to? Because he surely ain't talking to me. There's no way he's talking to me. But there in verse 11, if you look at it, he says, "You, thou mighty man of valor." And he's immediately in his mindset is already, "I am nobody. I am nothing. I come from nothing, and I will always be nothing." Somebody convinced him that he had nothing coming. But in this moment, when God sends the angel of the Lord, and you know who the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is? It's the Lord Jesus. He comes to him, he says, "You mighty man of valor." He says, "I'm declaring over that you're a mighty man of valor." That means you're courageous. That means you're mighty. That means you're powerful. That means you're not who they've said you are. Somebody has convinced you that you're nobody, but in my kingdom, you are somebody. Somebody has convinced you that you ain't got nothing coming, but I have called you for such a time as this. I've anointed you. I've appointed you, and everything's about to change. What happens is this guy has a hard time believing it, and then the Spirit of the Lord convinces him. And when God said he was about to bless Gideon, that meant that nothing could stop him. That means it was his year to elevate. And when God says, "I'm going to elevate this church, I'm going to elevate leaders, I'm going to elevate men and women at one time that had no direction, that had no whatsoever, nobody believed in them. Their families had given up on them. Their employers gave up on them a long time ago. If you were to go back to them and look them in the eye and say, 'I need a job,' they'd say, 'Oh, I can't hire you,' until they found out who you are, and they'd probably make you the boss." Come on, somebody. I'm here to declare to you right now that, you know what? You're not who the world says you are. You're not who they said you were when you were growing up. What they didn't put into the factor, what they didn't put into the equation, that it was God was going to get a hold of your life, that he was going to get a hold of you, he was going to touch you, he was going to anoint you, and he was going to place your feet upon a rock. And once he did that, he was going to put a calling on your life. And once he put that calling on your life, he's going to equip you, he's going to give you everything you need, he's going to provide. And once he does that, nothing's going to stop what God calls. See, when God called Gideon, Gideon didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. He didn't look like a mighty man of valor. He wasn't acting like a mighty man of valor. He was hiding down at the press, hiding from the Midianites, from the enemies of God, even hiding from his people who's all alone, totally and completely isolated. Because that's what happens when you start to believe in the devil's lies. You start believing nobody cares, nobody believes, and then you isolate yourself. You find a hole, and you get in that hole, and you stay in that hole, and it's a dark place. And yesterday I saw on the news there was this horse that was in this hole. And it kind of reminds me of an old story I used to tell about. I'm not going to tell it, but the Step It Out story. You know, the horse steps out of the... And I was in the hole, and there was water in there, and they rescued it. It pulls out the horse out of there. So they rescued it. And then the very next caption is, "This same horse ran a race, a horse race, the next morning and won." And I was like, it was just the news. It was the national news, the ABC. And so that thing was just buried, and that water was up to here. It was just like screaming for its life. And then all the farmers came together and they pulled it out. And then he wins the race. That could be like a movie. Somebody could write a script for that movie. And it's the same way we are sometimes. God says, "Oh, I've got a call on your life," and you get excited, then you go home. And then Monday comes, and Tuesday. Wednesday comes, and you don't really, "Oh, I don't know." And then Thursday comes, and by Saturday morning, you're just like, "I'm not that who they said I am. I don't know what happened at the altar call, but I don't feel the same way I would. I was, oh, at that altar call, I felt like I could tackle the world. I felt like I'd climb any mountain. I felt like I could overcome any sin. I could do anything. But by Saturday, man, I'm feeling like low. I'm feeling like, man, I'm not that person. You know why? Because the devil has convinced you that you are who you used to be. But let me tell you something right now. The trick on you is not even that bad. You think it's just that he's convinced you there, but you were never what he says you are in the first place. He got you to do some things, and you can't blame the devil because, you know, you love pleasure, right? You love, like, sin. Because you're human. We're human beings. We're God in that. And so, but you were never designed to be that. I was never designed to be what I used to be. Never. The trick is that we thought that's who we were designed to be. Gideon had been convinced that that's all he was designed to be. So he didn't look like it. He didn't act like it. He didn't walk like it. He didn't walk around and say, you know what, one day, I know we're down in the dumps down here. I know it looks like we're nobody, and uncles come and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, boy. You're going to be like that the rest of your life. We don't get money in this family. We don't get blessed in this family. We don't have inheritance in this family. We don't own companies in this, but we don't excel. We don't elevate. We stay low. That's maybe some of his uncles and maybe some of his aunties might think like that, but it would have been nice if at least he would have been walking around saying, well, I don't know. I heard a rumor that God used to move. And I'm waiting for the Spirit of the Lord to move. He wasn't even doing that. He was afraid, isolated, broken down, just crying. Saying, man, look at my life. My life means nothing. And then God shows up. Because that's the way he does it. God said to him, I'm bringing you out and I'm taking you in. By this time, in a couple of weeks, everything you've ever known is going to be a memory, and it's not even going to be pain, because I'm going to deliver you even from the pain. Now, I'm anointing you for the next season of your life, Gideon. I'm equipping you with what you're going to need, and whatever I declare to you is going to be done in the name of the Lord. Not even 100,000 soldiers could stop Gideon's small army of 300. He started off with 22,000 soldiers. He gathered them together, and the Lord says, no, that's too many. Get rid of like 12,000 of them. So he has 10,000 armies. He goes, get rid of those guys. Ends up with 300 soldiers against a crowd of 100,000. Have you ever been in a stadium with 100,000 people? This room easily fits when we, for Easter, we fill for dramas and con, we easily fit 550, 600 people. So imagine what 300 feels like, opposed to the Cowboy Stadium, the 95,000 people there on a really popular game. Full, packed out, maybe 100 with people walking around. What a large group of people that he had to fight. But I love the fact that he, by the time he gets to the battle, he's no longer questioning God. He's no longer saying, oh, but there's 100,000 of them. What are we going to do? He's not doing that. All by that time, he's learned who he is. By that time, he already knows who he is. By that time, he's already understood exactly who God has declared who he is. By that time, look what he does. All he does is follow instructions. All he does is say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, that's what we'll do. And he goes to his armies and says, Hap, you guys go over here. You third go over here. We're going to go over here, and you go over there. And when you hear this, I want you to do this. And when we do this, you're going to see what the Lord delivers us from. When are you going to get to that point in your life? When you get to the place where you stop listening to your past and to the last and past, listening to the devil and listening to your condemnation, when are you going to start saying, wait a minute, if God said this is who I am, why am I still looking back? If God said this is who I am, why in the world am I still listening to that? It's not who I am. You see, the difference between Gideon when he first got there, as he was like, I'm no mighty man of valor. And he went from that to. Just waiting for orders. Tell me where. Tell me when. Just say when. And I'll go. See, Gideon, he understood. He got the revelation. When are you going to get the revelation? Some of you get so offended so easily. If you would know who you are, you wouldn't let nothing offend you. You'd say, oh, boy, I'm not, that ain't happening to me today. I got too many promises. I got too many promises to wait for. They might not understand my promises. They may not even understand their own promises. See, what God has said about you, about what he's going to do in your life, is what he says about you. And when he says it about you, you need to be confident in this. And he who has begun a good work in you shall be faithful to commit it, to continue it, to finish it. Nothing can stop it. Now, real quickly, I just want to take a look. Can you come to the keyboard? I want to take a look at Queen Esther for a minute, just for a second. Queen Esther, this woman, have you ever seen the movie Queen Esther? There's several of them, but this is one particular one. It just shows her process. Shows her uncle Mordecai. Shows the guy, I think his name is Haman. You know, I was reading my word earlier, and I was thinking about how when the devil is after you, when God declares something over your life and he's ready to do something, you can know the devil's going to show up. He's going to show up. The question is, what are you going to be when he shows up? Are you going to be defeated, downcast, isolated, down and bummed out and all messed up? Or are you going to be standing up like this? You know, I have this bad habit. It's a bad habit. I got to admit it. When I go to a restaurant or I go to a big crowd like that, I immediately just look around. I look around, get to the corner. So I'll take this seat and I just look around. Okay, we can eat now. And I'm like that. I'm aware. You know, we ought to be so aware when the devil shows up. Because some of us are just like this. You got some dessert? You gotta be aware. Because he's coming. He'll make his way. Because he'll hear. Did you hear about so and so? They answered the call. And he says, I'm not worried about them. They answer the call all the time. By Tuesday, they'll be done with that call. But they say, hey, did you hear about you know who? He answered the call, and it's Thursday. He says, what? And he shows up. Don't send no little demons. He shows up himself. And he says, remember who you are. Remember those nights. Remember the summer of. Remember what you did? Let me remind you of what you did, that dirty deed. That's who you are. Let me tell you about your dad. You know the one that ran away? He's good for nothing. You're like him. And he just keeps on and on. By Saturday morning, that call is almost completely leaked out. But then you'll be on the radio. You'll be on the internet. You'll be on Facebook or on Instagram, or somebody will call you or somebody will text you from another state and you'll know it's God. And it'll be that scripture, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Don't forget, whatever he started in you, he's about to complete it. And all of a sudden, Saturday, you get up and you say, wait a minute. You become like one of those MMA, those UFC fighters. Like John. Jumpy. And you're ready on Saturday morning. Come Sunday morning, there you are. Instead of. When are you going to get to that point? Let me tell you when you're going to get to that point. When you start believing who God says you are. When you start believing that God has more for you. When you start trusting God that no matter what it looks like, love about that story, is that this guy Haman, he deviated, he totally completely lied and plotted, and he did everything he could to wipe out Mordecai and his niece Esther. But his plan was not so much them. His plan was to annihilate the Jews. He hated the Jews. Kind of, we hear that in the news all the time, right? I want to be a friend to God's people. Besides, I know I got like about an eighth of Jew in me, right next to my Apache. And you know I got some rhythm, so. It's like, I love this story. I love this part of the story. He gets to the point where they've almost, this guy, Haman, has the king convinced that these people are no good. They're traitors. They're worthless people. And he has them, and man, she's about to become the queen. Remember, if you stood up in front of the king and you were not the queen, You didn't get to leave and go get married someplace. You became part of the harem. And the king might visit you one time, and after that, you would just stay alone in isolation for the rest of your life. So Queen Esther, her life was on the line. Mordecai's life is on the line. The Jew's life is on the line. And then God speaks. God reminds them who they are. I remember that verse clearly that says, Esther, could it be that God has raised you up for just as a time as this? In other words, you think that you are what they said you were, but let me tell you who you are. You are going to be the one who I use to deliver my people, and you will be queen. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. You're going to be the queen of this place. But I love this. I love the fact that the very gallows, the hangman's gallows that Haman created for Mordecai to hang on, that next day, Haman was hanging on those gallows. Come on, somebody. Because that's the way God will do it. When your enemy comes and the devil comes and he thinks he has you, and he thinks, when he thought he had our church and he thought he was trying to squeeze the life out of our church, there was a whole bunch of people in this church that said, not on my watch. I'm not like those that don't know. I know the promises. I know exactly where God has called me to do. I know exactly who we are. I know what God has called us to do in this city. I know exactly all the seeds we've sown. And I know, you know, this is what God does. He'll take your enemies and he'll hang them on his own gallows that he built. Stand to your feet with me. Look what it says in verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. God will take your enemy and put him on display in front of his own. You got to know, this is the God you serve. This is the one who has called you. I think about David. I'm not going to camp there, but I think about David. One day when he's 15 years old, he gets a bottle of oil, a horn of oil poured over him. His curly hair. He says, you're going to be the next king of Israel. 15, 16, 17 years goes by. He's been fighting Philistines. The enemy has already convinced him. When David went on the run, his own leader wanted to kill him. How many know that the very sword that he wanted to kill David with, he fell on his own self? It didn't look like it was going to happen, but it did. Some of you can't see it going to happen, but it's going to happen. You can't see it. Some of you want to pastor a church one day. You can't see it, but it's going to happen. Some of you really want a man of God in your life, but you've been picking the wrong guy so long. That's all you think you deserve, sister. But I'm here to declare to you that if you wait for God, God will give you a man of God. You too, brother. Quit acting like you got something better than that. You know what? I want you to know something. If you'll wait and quit rushing things, always trying to do your own thing, thinking it's always them, and it's you. God's got somebody for you. He's got a reina for you, a queen. Think about it is you got to quit. You ain't never going to find the queen until you stop looking at them like they're a slave. Because that's what they were looking at Esther like, she was a slave. She had real dark skin. And not because she was that dark skin. It's because she was used to being out in the fields. So she already had one strike against her. When she went in before the king, he was going to see her dark skin and say, this girl works a field. She's a laborer. I need somebody that's of royalty. Because he's a king, right? Woo-hoo! When God calls you, you walk in the room. The king don't look at anything on the outside. All he looks at is on the inside. And on the inside, there's a treasure box that says, she belongs to me. He belongs to me. Handle with care. Nothing could stop David from being king. Not even himself. He almost released that kingdom because of his sin. Nothing could stop it though. God's getting ready to pour something in you. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I called you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Nothing can stop what God is about to do. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. He has his eye upon you. Don't you ever think that he don't have his eye upon you. Yeah, but he has his eye upon you. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh for nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they have life and life more abundant. Listen, the devil can't steal what God gave you, but you can sure give it to him. Don't give him another inch. You already gave him too much. You stop giving him any kind of attention. The only attention you give is you're aware that he's in the room. And if you need backup, all you got to do is text. You just call on my name. And we'll come wherever you are. We'll come running, yeah, yeah. We will. We're a family. When we're praying for people earlier, we're praying for Cindy because we're praying that God would heal her. We're believing God for those things. We're believing God for that because we believe we're family. Nothing worse than being isolated alone when the devil's trying to kill you. All you got to do is just put a little text out. Call the prayer warriors, man. And all of a sudden, it hits my mom's phone. Boom. Then it starts hitting all the younger disciples. Boom, 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 boom. Before you know it, all of a sudden, you start feeling like, whoa. Start getting jumping like John. Woo. Sometimes, man, that the road to ease looks so much better. Remember what Jesus said about roads? There's a narrow one and a wide one. Nothing's going to stop what God's about to do. So this fourth quick thing, stay close to God through prayer. Stay tuned to God and His Word. Stay tuned to Him. Stay believing in faith. And lastly, stay relevant. You know how you stay relevant? Not the latest book. Not skinny jeans. Not, and that's okay. That's cool. If you want to wear it, that's cool. If you can, some of you just can't. Be relevant, man. You know how you're relevant? It ain't what you think. It's not what you think. You know how you're relevant? When you serve. Because whether you were alive in the 1500s or the 1800s. Or if the Lord tarries into the 2100s, serving is the common factor that keeps you relevant to the need right here. Not here, not there, right here. Close your eyes with me. I believe everyone in this room, God has struck. He has lit a fuse in your heart. It's been burning through the whole service. And in just a few moments, that fuse is going to go down, all the way down to your heart. And there's going to be an explosion. There's going to be an explosion of faith. There's going to be an explosion of expectation. There's going to be an explosion of something that you've been waiting for all your life, that even though you didn't have what others had, I want you to know God set you apart. Even though you didn't have what a lot of people haven't made, and they had this and they had that, and you long to have what they have, but they don't realize there's a treasure box inside of you. They don't realize that what God has set apart for you, He only set it for you. Because he's only made one of you. Only one of you exists on this earth or in the history of the earth. And I believe with all my heart, when I have him sing this song, I'm going to ask you tonight, for those of you that say, I don't want to be isolated. I don't want to be that one that says, you know what, I don't know who I am. I want to know who I am. I want to be that person that says, I am a mighty man of valor. I'm a woman of dignity. I'm a woman that is worth something. A man is worth something. And even though the enemy has tried to convince me that I didn't have a, because I didn't have a father or a mother, or because this happened or that happened, I'm nothing. Let me declare to you tonight, you are belonged to the Lord, and whatever He's getting ready to do, nothing can stop. I want to open up this altar to you.